So Jesus, he had us in mind to this day. He said, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, put these. I'm not going to let the devil give me a quick escape. I'm not going to take these stones and take it for bread to feed my flesh. He stayed in the spirit. He stayed persevering. He stayed in that fourth dimension. For some of you guys, when I say fourth dimension, you know, I'm not naive to think everybody may know the jargon that I'm saying. Fourth dimension, that's that spiritual realm. Only way you can see in that spiritual realm is what, church? Walk by
faith.
We got to have faith. So we got to have faith to see in that spiritual realm in order to not be subjected always to the 3D. 3D, we know that to be the world, our current circumstances, the natural way of living. And it's what we know, it's what we come to know. And I say that not as a compare and contrast, but I say that as an add-on. You see, 4D simply adds value to what you may have come to know or think you may know in the natural, right? So that 3D, you may have had certain attributes about you, things, this, that, and the nature that may help one person, two person, but I tell you what, you add that 4D, you add faith to it. What you do when God puts his super on your natural, it further empowers you to not just reach neighborhoods, not just reach sister, brother, cousin, but to reach not only nations, but to reach regions, to reach the world. Word of God says he was overcome the world, right, even by our faith. So it's our faith. Faith is so crucial, right? It's that substance. And that's something that, for me, it's my stone. And you may say, what you mean by stone? You'll find out a little later. So that stone for me is that faith. And, you know, as I say, I'm just really soaking in with what Jesus has already done for us, because it's so massive, so big. It's like going to McDonald's, right? You get that, you have in mind, you just want to get something to kind of hold you over. You want something that'll give you a taste in your mouth. But you find out, you go to McDonald's, they say, sir, what would you like? I say, oh, you know what, I get the Big Mac with, you know, fries, and would you like to make that extra large? Really? You mean I get extra, okay. Yeah, I get extra. Oh, I have extra large and just a drink. Sir, would you like to substitute that drink for something else? Well, I was thinking about that McFlurry. Okay. And what all I'm saying with this is, God has all of what you desire, all in that package, right? I may think about that with a McDonald's meal, but I say that to say it's the salvation package. And, you know, it really just is a testament of, as the scripture that we just kicked off with, Isaiah 60, just that arising and shining for that light that we know and Jesus Christ has given us to be a light in the world, right? I want us to continue on. You excuse me, I'm a millennial, so I have my technology here. I am here. That brings me to the first point here. It's essential to break through your wilderness and break forth for God to use more of you. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying much of what I've already said when it comes to breaking through your personal wilderness. Some of you guys may say that wilderness is, you know, what is wilderness? You know, wilderness, we come to know it's a desolate place. It's a place where you abandon. You don't have friends or family, things you can rely on, people you can rely on to help you. And for me personally, that place, I had to reach the end of myself to realize that I didn't have friends or family to help me. And reaching the end of my faith caused me to reach that breakthrough, right? When you're looking at get a little transparent. You get looking at certain tests that say you're going to have, you know, this disease, this things of that nature. And I said, you know what? I need to rely on something more than just you know, hoping and wishing. You know, it really troubled me to the point as a young man at that time, I had developed a case that usually they may say in your 50s you may get is shingles, right? And that's due to stressing a lot. So some of you guys heard this motto I said, no stress, proceed, progress. A lot of it comes from that experience. But I won't touch on it too much. I understand I'm under constraints of time, so I want to move and respect that time. So it says here, God thought it was essential for Jesus to break through his wilderness. So that really speaks to the point of the essentiality of what I say is it's essential to break through your wilderness. You know, Jesus did it for us as the example. What do you think that means for us? Right? Some of you guys may say, I'm already saved. I already made it through the wilderness. You know, it's another wilderness. You know, if you're really reading this word like I am, you know, not just like a nice story, but you're reading the word of God, you see that, you know, you're going to eventually, you know, people will see that light in you that we spoke on in Isaiah 60. And I know just like when it gets dark outside, you see flies around that light. You know, the light attracts flies. It attracts things that you may not want around you. But you know what? I said some time ago, I'd rather have to get the people, if you allow this. We know God, he hates the sin, but not the person. So I'd rather see in the spirit the flies, the muck, the miry clay around that person in order to reach them to tell them about my friend Jesus. Right? To tell them about, you know, what it is that I come to know, so they can see the hope that's within me. And I present that to you all tonight. You know, it may be some kind of miry clay, some people around you, some things around you, situations around you that you may not be too, you know, really keen to letting it come by you. But what if I told you on the other side, it's with the reward of seeing their lives change? Right? What if I told you also not everybody thinks that way? You know, we had another, I want to give one more example regarding the wilderness before I move on to the next point. We had the gentleman King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king, right? King. but I say that to say, you had one man, Jesus, who spent 40 days in the wilderness and another man who spent 7 years. Now, I know for me, one, I don't want to go through the wilderness at all, but I know it's necessary, if that's it. So recognizing that, seeing the point of going through the wilderness for promotion. But this gentleman, you know, he ended up going through the wilderness in cycles because he didn't learn a number of times about that one, you know, that one sin called pride, right? So if you don't humble yourself, we know it's under the mighty hand of God, pride has a way of keeping you in cycles. And he was kept in a 7-year cycle. So I couldn't imagine being kept in a 7-year cycle because I couldn't put down a cup of coffee. Why am I saying that? That's something that I had to, you know, was made real to me. I said, oh, my goodness. It got to the point I saw a little bit of coffee left in that cup. And I'm willing to kind of take a chance of leaning down to pick up that cup and nearly swerving in the lane. And so I said, you know what, Lord? Yeah, let me step away from coffee. It was made real to me. That's something that, yeah, not worth it. So that's something I wanted to bring to light in terms of that example. Again, I don't want to go delve deeper into it, being mindful of time. So, media, if you would, see, you can take us to the next point here. Actually, you know what? I see here I got a little time. Can we go to the, let's see. Can we go back to Isaiah 60? And And this is going to, I'm going to ask a question, and you can kind of internalize and think about it as I read through a few of the verses here. So why must Jonathan, I always like to use myself as example, why must I break through the wilderness? For me, I have people to reach. I want to see my neighborhood saved. I want to see, for me, neighborhood, I want to see the entire 18th Ave, Tangerines Avenue saved. I want to see my family saved, sold out for Christ, right? I want to see people who even work with me just saved, right? So that's what it looks like for me. And kind of think about it, you as well. So what does it look like for you? Why must you? What is your why, right? What is your why for breaking through your personal wilderness, breaking through old mindsets, breaking through things that may not be such an immediate thing to do away with, but it's something that you know if you did away with it, it'll help you in the long run, right? So that's what I asked there. But yes, Isaiah 60, here it says here, I want to, Mita, if you could take me to verse 9, please. It says, all right, perfect. It says, surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. So I know definitely helps me to know that God wants to glorify you. So that definitely, and of course, you know, to bring glory to his name. But just knowing that you're included in that you're a part of the benefit. You know, my man of God has said, you know, it's one thing you have a water hose, right? The first thing that gets wet before everybody else is the water hose. So why not be a water hose in this case of letting God's glory get through you, and you're getting blessed as well in that situation. So that's something that I say, you know what, it can't be missed. I don't want to be remiss that everybody may not realize that. Some may see it as tradition, but we know that it's not what we know Jesus as. It's not, and what he's provided for us, not tradition, but and not religion, but relationship. And in any good relationship, you know, you're going to get a benefit, right? You want a benefit. It's not one-sided. You know, my wife and I, it's not one-sided. My wife and I here, we know it's ways she blesses me, ways I bless her. And it's that mutual benefit, right? Jesus is ways he blesses me, ways he allows me to bring glory to his name, and I'm able to be blessing. And as it says here, he glorifies me to bring more glory to his name. So it's that kind of relation. That's the mindset we want to have as we're walking this thing out. So the second point here of the why is found in Romans 8:19, Amplified Classic. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. I'm going to get there as well. Praise the Lord. We got a very fast media. Thank you, media. I honor you, media. Praise. Thank you for being patient with me. It says here, Romans 8:19. You know what? I just realized I have a New King James Version Bible. So, you look over here. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So for even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly. I want us to put our eyes and highlight that word expectantly, because it really shows that, you know, even if you don't realize it now, just know somebody's waiting on you. They're waiting to see that glory. They're waiting to see that mighty man, mighty woman in you. And it says here, longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. waiting for the revealing, disclosing of their sonship. So right there, you got people waiting on you. And they may see it even when you don't realize it. They're saying, oh my goodness, when is so-and-so going to realize their full potential? You know? And I see it in children. I work with children, and I see it every day in children. Some of you guys who work with or have children probably can relate to this. When they do something wrong, as soon as they do it, they look up. Because they're expecting you to say something. And people will do that. They're expecting you to say something. You don't say something. In their mind, they're thinking like, does this person realize that I did this? Or, you know, and they're not saying nothing. Do that right? Do they care? Right. So just know people expect you to operate a certain way. It's already in their nature, as we see here. They're created to do so. They're created to expect a kingly response, an appropriate response. So by nature, you know, we're kings. I don't want to take it for granted everybody in here saved tonight. But I say, you know, those who are in Christ were kings and priests, right? Women, kings, all that. So with that, they're expecting us to behave a certain way. They're expecting us to decree certain things, to not allow certain things to be in the atmosphere. And that's something that I wanted to share there when it comes to that why make it through your wilderness. So we can move forward here. Here, let's see. If you're not convinced, I want to share one more scripture here. Isaiah 54, 3-4 media, if you could take me there. And I'll get there too. Let's see. So it goes to the point that it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. And that's what's to be seen in the scriptures I'm going to read here in verses 3 and 4. It says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. So right there, that word expand to the right and to the left, we know it can mean... I have to backtrack and to get it to you guys maybe after service, but I believe in the Strong's definition, it says to break forth, to break through, right? So God wants you to break through. So a part of further saying that with breaking through your wilderness, God wants you to break through for this reason. So it says, yes, well, verse 4 says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. So here's the key word in this that I want all of us to see and realize is that do not fear. Fear, we know, cancels out faith. If you listened to me earlier, faith, you know, that's the substance. We know it as a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need that faith. That's that binder that keeps everything to get together. So we need that. But if you decide to fear, it won't be good. Yeah, nullifies it. Right. Yeah. So I hope we got that there. Let's see here. Some may say, I want to bring us to our next point. So it says, how do I break through? You know, how do I break forth? What does that look like? Some may say, how? You know, simply, how do I do that? I never want to take that for granted, because every other Friday, myself, my sister Cherie, my wife, and brother Romeo, we all go to the JDC and minister the word. And as I go there, just rely on the anointing, rely on what God has placed in each of us. And we just simply share Jesus. And in doing that, some don't know how to break through. So that word breakthrough is very crucial to, you know, a lot of people's lives when it comes to seeing it, seeing them change. We had a recent visit to the JDC. I just shared this briefly. I had a young lady who she shared with us. In this case, we had a chance to visit Lay's. So she shared with us that, you know, here's my day number 40. I said, I just laughed. I said, you see why I'm laughing? Because you said 40. And that's literally, we heard it was preached on about the 40 days and the cycle. So she was at the, she didn't know, but I knew now she reached the end of her cycle. And yeah. So long story short, just know by the end of that night, she wasn't the same person that she came in as. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I say that to say because, and that happens when you come into mindset that is bigger than you. And you decide to say, you know what? I'm going to use the words that he put in my mouth to get them to somebody else that can change their lives, right? So praise the Lord for that. It says here, with that, how to break through, how to break forth. How to break through, you have the word, right? You break through with the word of God, and then letting the word get in you. Letting Jesus come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Oh, he's already broken you out right there. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's broken you out. And then you're able to break forth. It may be breaking forth into the praise. This says in Scripture, and you'll break forth in that praise, excited and expecting to reach the salvation continually, a continual salvation of your soul, renewing your mind, right? We see that here. You may say, I don't know everything. I know what? I don't know the Bible from front and back, back and front. Hey, you know, like I tell it at the JDC or anybody, I say, use what you got. You got two arms, two legs, right? I tell them, I say, I'm not the biggest, I'm not the strongest, I'm not the fastest, but I use what I got. And you want to be effective with what you have. People in the world understand this. They understand it in sports. They understand it in various arenas. Use what you got. God bless you with this. You know, this gift, use his gift. You know, we see it with the gifts of talents. So we want to make sure that we maximize that. That's the key word that I'm going to go into the next point is maximize what we have. Let's see here. And I just make it practical a bit. If you know, for me, one thing I enjoy doing time to time is doing boxing. And with boxing, if you're not the tallest person. I'm not the shortest, but I'm not the tallest. And I respect things that I can't do. I respect the range. So you understand things of that nature, and you maximize that by, you know, making sure that you are, you know, being not necessarily the fighter, but the boxer. So you know how to stay out of that range. But to step in when you need to step in, to discern when you need to step in, discern when you need to step out. So that's just something I want to share. I hope it helps relate the word better. Let's see here. Praise the Lord, yes. Maximizing what you have. Media, can we please go back? I know I'm having you guys bounce back. I honor you guys. Thank you. Isaiah 54, please. Can we go to Isaiah 54? And that's to further show what that maximizing looks like. And verse two. Thank you. So here God is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. So these are items that they already have. So they already have a tent, right? They already have stakes. And God is simply saying, strengthen, yeah, widen what you have. Enlarge your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. So he wouldn't say enlarge your tent if he didn't give you a tent that's large enough to be enlarged. So all I'm saying is that God will always give you enough. His grace is always sufficient for your missions. So that's what I'm saying with that is that it also will say, do not spare. So don't leave anything on the table. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So to make that practical, that's whatever, you know, whatever God is, you know, giving you and even your, for us, our home, we have mangoes. So I counted them and I said, oh, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 mango trees. All right. Look like mango business. And that's just reality. Use what you got. You know, like I say, it's got to do it. Let's see here. I hope that really drives the point. Did I finish the scripture? Okay, praise the Lord. All right. I don't want to be before you much longer. I really want to get moving here. Let's see. It says here, you may say, all right, I'm breaking through, but how do I break forth? Ooh, I'm praising the Lord. I got the zeal of the Lord. I'm excited for what he's done for me, how he saved my life. But I know it's much more. How do I get to that much more? How do I get to that much more, man? You got stones. Remember I said stones earlier? Let's get to it. All right, says here, let's see. You want to get your stones ready. So that'll bring us to... If you can go to 1 Samuel verse 40, please, media. 1 Samuel verse 40. And while you're getting there, I'll be remiss if I didn't say this. To break through, and I may have said it earlier, but I know I spoke on it earlier, but it takes faith to break through. Without that, it takes faith to break through. For those online who are wondering, what does breakthrough mean? How do you break? It takes faith to break through. Confessing and believing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believing is your first act of faith. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and then verse 40. Let me get there as well. I'm flapping my jaws. Let me get there. Okay, let's see. It says, then he took his staff in his hand. And what I'm reading here is basically the story with David. David is facing his giant, and this is his personal battle, his giant that he's facing in this situation. It says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. So the Bible is specific about mentioning that, not just saying it's stones, but saying the numerical number of stones. Smooth. Yeah, and it's smooth. And 5, we know, may not know, 5 is the number of grace. Grace is what God has given us to make things easier for us, right? So here, let's see, I want to finish reading that scripture. 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. I just want to touch on this. It really shook me up when I saw this in it, is that, you know, stones being in a brook, in order for it to get smooth, that water has to constantly beat over it, beat over it, beat over it. Think about that water of the word. The Bible says the living water. When the living water, that word that just looks to you like words on a page, you let that word continue to chew on it, meditate on it. All that's doing is just beating on it, smoothing it, till it gets from your head. Now, I got a thick head. And if I got a lot of head, I know definitely. It's all right. It's all right to laugh. It's all right to laugh. If I got a lot of head, it's going to take a lot of word, right? But I say that to say, for then it'll get into your heart, right? So that water continuously moving will smooth that stone, and you have smooth scriptures that'll come out of your heart in abundance. So this here is, and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So he identifies him not by name, but as by a Philistine. He takes an objective look at this person. He calls him, I know another, some translation says, uncircumcised Philistine. So not even mentioning his name is Goliath. So that's what it is. That's what is good for us to do that when it comes to identifying things in the spirit. not calling a person, but recognizing the sin on that person or recognizing that spirit to get to that person, right? So having an objective look, I know for me personally, it helps me in my walk of faith and to walk as a man of God and not just as a mere man, right? Let's see here. The Greek translation, it also defines stone as a tool for work or a weapon. In this case, David is using it as a weapon, and we want to kind of put in a mindset of seeing it as our sword, our weapon, right? So we know the Bible says it's like a two-edged sword, sharper than a two-edged sword, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and we look at these five stones as that. And the wonderful thing about this is that David didn't use all of his stones. He just used one stone. And I won't be in your way any longer after this. He just used one stone. After that one stone, boop, giant left. We saw him break forth. So it may just take your one scripture. It might even be, listen, something so simple. You got somebody that won't even crack a smile. And you get a breakthrough, you say, Jesus wept. And saying that one scripture, it breaks through. I say that so simple because it's just one scripture that it may just take. But I say that to say that, like I've mentioned before in this word, I'm here to tell you that your breakthrough may be here today for somebody online, anybody here. So get your stones. You know, what's your word? What's your word? Get your stones. I love you guys. That's all I got. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Come on, give him a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Stand on your feet. We're going to keep it going. Hallelujah. Our next speaker, Miss Evangelist Bland. Hallelujah. Evangelist Ernestine Bland. Come on, give her a hand.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word on tonight. I thank God for Brother High Jackson and the word. Praise God. I'm glad you used your time tonight because I don't know if I got 30 minutes for you tonight. I thank God I left all my notes at home. But it's all right. Praise God. My scripture reading tonight, first of all, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come before you right now, God. And I ask you to allow Ernestine to decrease, God, that you may increase in her. I thank you, Father God, for the word that you put in front of me, Lord God. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that will bring all things back to my memory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I give honor to God and to our pastors in their absence tonight, hallelujah, and everyone in their respective places. My scripture reading will be coming from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. All right. These eyes, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto thee, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and your and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bones to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. Above all, there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. O breathe and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And how many of us know that this army was the whole house of Israel? God resurrected the house of Israel. And like I say, my subject said, can these bones live? So I want to bring this into today. But first of all, I can imagine, how many of us seen the picture of those dry bones? I know we look in our Bible and we've seen that valley of that dry bone. As far as the eyes could see, nothing but dry bones. But how many of us know that that bones aren't supposed to be dry? Bones, blood, marrow go through bones. They shouldn't be dry. Praise the Lord. But I can imagine when God took Ezekiel out in the spirit, and he started to prophesy to these bones when he told them to prophesy to these bones. I can imagine when he asked them, can these bones live? Ezekiel probably said, you know, in his spirit. So he answered, God only, sovereign God only, you know. I'm sure I would have said the same thing. Because if we're looking at the bones, doesn't look like they could live. But how many of us know that there's nothing too hard for God? That God can do any and all things. So he prophesies as God commanded him to. And I can imagine when he prophesies and these bones started to rattling and shaking, there was probably a revival breaking out in the valley. Huh? Hallelujah. These bones are coming together. And then he saw the sinew and the skin covering the bones. And when he looked around, there was a seething army that stood up. But still, they lacked something. They wasn't complete yet. They lacked something. So God said, prophesy to the wind and breathe breath into these. How many of us know that that breath is the Holy Spirit? When we breathe the Holy Spirit into us, the Holy Spirit is that keeper, that comforter, that thing that keep us. So hallelujah. Then there was a vast army. I can imagine a real revival broke out then, hallelujah, in that valley. But I'm here to talk to you today about an experience God gave myself. I left my notes, so a lot of things I probably won't even touch. But God did a new thing in me on this week. I tell you, I looked in the mirror. I asked Miss Michelle on our way to church. I said, do I look the same? Because God did something. Monday when Pastor called me, I was like, okay, well, whatever it is, I'll be. Yes. I said, yes. And I went to bed Monday night, and I said, now, what am I going to give? But I went on to sleep, and I woke up tossing and turning. I couldn't sleep, and I got up to go to the bathroom. And when I opened my bathroom door, the first thing you see is the mirror. And when I look in the mirror, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see me. And I continued to look and look, and then it was like a cartoon thing. The head was bobbling. What's going on? And then I saw bones, dry bones. I had been going through some sickness lately. Matter of fact, for the last couple of years. And the enemy had took my mind off of God and focused onto the sickness. I was coming to church when I could come to church, but things was not right. The devil told me, you gonna die. He said, your mama died with diabetes. Your sister died with diabetes. Your brother died with diabetes. Your niece and your nephew died with diabetes. And every situation that they were going through, every time I went to the doctor, he told me I had it. Huh? At first I said, devil, you a liar. I'm going to live. But eventually, when you keep hearing these things, it kind of get next to you. So I was spiritually dying. There were dry bones. So when I looked in that mirror, I couldn't see anything but dry bones. So I said, speak to me, God. Speak to me. And he said, can these bones live? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was the time I said, yes. I said, yes, servant God, these bones can live. You know what I mean? Because he was talking about me. God said, I resurrected you before. I renewed you before. And I can do it again. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what somebody else say. Keep your mind focused on me. I took my mind off of God. The first year after my mom and dad died a long time ago, about 3 years ago, my brother died. Kidney problem. A month later, my other brother died. Diabetes. 2 months later, another brother died. Kidney problem. 2 months later, my nephew died. He was killed. Another one had a heart attack a month later. And another one they found dead. 2 years later, my favorite niece had her toes cut, diabetes, died. Her brother, 2 months later, amputated legs, both, died. So Satan kept telling me, you next. You next. You gonna die just like them. And I used to talk to him and I would tell him, hey, to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. So you ain't doing nothing, but he continued to just, yes. And he put fear in me. Misery. I was miserable. I began to get sicker than I should have been for worrying. And like I said, I was spiritually dying. But Monday night, he woke me up and sent me to that bathroom to look into that mirror to see nothing and then to see dry bones. And he said, can these bones live? Yes, God, they can live. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, prophesy to these bones. And I began to speak to these bones. And I began to let them know that life, there is life in Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. Hallelujah, because I will live. Hallelujah. I promised God some things God reminded me looking in that mirror. 26 years ago, when I saved you, you made some vows to the Lord. And you know sometimes when we're trying to come out of that world, we make a lot of promises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But God allowed me to know you made some vows to me. Hallelujah. And I said, God, yes. But I said, Father God, you got to bring this body back to temple form. I can't work in a sick body. I need you to do it for me, God. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have to have a clean place for it to work in. So I said, God, those vows I made, I'll make them again. But I'll keep my mind focused on you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you take your mind off of God. When sickness, calamity, even marriage problems, even financial problems, you know, death, all these things will get you to take your mind off of God. But I promise God this time that I'll use my church family. I'll use whoever I need to keep reminding me to keep my mind focused on you. Because I will not go back. I did not backslide, but I got weak in the spirit. I saw myself drowning. I saw myself dying. But God said, can those bones live? Can these bones live? Not just in me. Sometimes we all got a problem that we sometimes don't want to admit. But can those bones live? Hallelujah. Sovereign God, yes, they can. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to do what it is God said do. And everything is in this word. We got to focus on the word. I had 5 steps. I don't remember what they were, but God is good. Anyhow, I thank you, Jesus. I said, sometimes we have a plan, but God got another plan. Now, he told me when he saved me a long time ago, this is the audible voice that I heard. Always give your testimony. He said, yokes are broken with your testimony. That's the audible voice I heard, to always give a testimony. God reminded me of when I had the dream. I told this testimony before. When my husband died, and I went to the funeral home to see his body, and he sat up in the casket. This was a dream. He sat up in the casket, and he showed me a casket. It was just like his. And said, this is yours. You're supposed to be here. But God told me to choose life. And I chose life. And I walked out of that funeral home. And when I walked out of the funeral home, there were, looked like thousands of people walking. And they were headed toward a kingdom, a temple. It was very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. People were walking. They were dressed in robes and gold and crown. And they said, come on. And I walked with them. And as they got to the door, I stopped. And the man said, come on in. And I said, no, I don't belong in here. I'm not dressed like that. I don't belong. He said, yes, you do. You belong. Come in. But I turned around. And when I turned around, I found myself in the wilderness. How many of us know we sometimes got to go through the wilderness? Wild animals, dry. The ground was dry. It was a desert. I was running, and the wild animals were chasing me, and I would stop to pick up something to throw, but it would just crumble in my hand because it was so dry. Sticks and stones I tried to throw, and the word of God said, you can't fight the enemy with sticks and stones. You got to fight him with the word. And I stopped, and I turned around, and I began to, I didn't know much about the word back then. I was just getting saved, and I was like, I plead the blood of Jesus on you. I said, I resist the devil. He said, if I resist you, you will flee from me. Hallelujah. And I told him, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. These were the words that I knew. And when I did that, it went away. Poof. And when I turned around, I was no longer in the desert. I was no longer in the wilderness. I was at a building. And when I walked in the building, there were thousands. Sick people, people on drugs, people that were crazy, people that needed help. And God said, prophesize, pray. And I rolled my sleeve up and I prayed for the people. I don't know how long I was in that place, but by the time I got around to the other side, my clothes were raggedy, they were torn, they were ripped. But I prayed for the last person. And I closed my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I look at my feet. And my feet were new. And I look at my hands were too. And my clothes, I was dressed in the robes and the gowns like the people that were walking into that kingdom. Hallelujah. And I walked out of that building. And I can see that building. That temple that they were walking into, the one that I turned around. And I began to walk toward that. And God let me know, on your way, you still got work to do. Still got work to do. As long as we got God's breath in our body, we got work to do. Hallelujah. But God let me know that these bones can live tonight. We have to seek him. We have to expect and believe. We have to stay in this word. Amen. We have to pray with others, for ourselves, along with others. There's just so much to do. I'm sorry I left my notes, but this is what God gave me. So I'm here to ask you tonight, can these bones live? Whatever you're going through tonight, you might go through a wilderness experience. Praise God. You might go through some marriage problems. You might go through some financial problems. You might just go through something really, really simple that may cause you to get some dry bones, to go through a spiritual death or something. But don't be ashamed. It's time to let God, let go and let God. I had to call upon him. I had to let him know, God, I'm not ashamed. I was dying spiritually. Hallelujah. But like I said, Monday night, God did a new thing in me. And I still look in the mirror and I can't see me. I can't see Ernestine. I see a new person. So I want you to know that I'm a new creature in Christ tonight. And I want you to know that these bones can live. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Come on, come on. Hallelujah. These bones. These bones.